The basketball tournament, that's an actual event, not just a random statement. The basketball tournament, it's an event that features former college stars and overseas standouts that compete for a seven-figure prize, will proceed this summer with the assistance of a comprehensive health and safety plan to minimize the risk of contracting or spreading the coronavirus, organizers announced on Wednesday. So there's several keys to the plan that will include multiple rounds of testing for competitors before entering a sanitized venue, separating the participants, and eliminating a team if one of its players tests positive. So it starts in July. The TBT says it will host a 24-team single elimination tournament at a location to be determined. Good article out there by Myron Metcalf that'll explain everything that's going on. So they're looking at coming back, or at least coming into play. But Major League Baseball, not so exciting there. So Major League Baseball has made another proposal to the players that involves a salary cut, which the players' union doesn't love. So the new economic proposal calls for a significant cut in salaries that affect all players, but particularly the highest paid players in the game. So we've been waiting to see what the next portion of this plan was as Major League Baseball teams and players continue to battle it out very publicly about money as they try and figure out what baseball will look like if and when it does return. And speaking of the if and when you could get a return, the NHL has given us their actual return plan, a 2014 playoff if the season returns. So what they're looking at is there's no more regular season. They'll go straight into the playoffs, 24 teams instead of 16. They're going to pick two different bubble cities. That's their plan and intent right now. They're going to look at an opportunity to give us a playoff with these teams. They'll also be doing sort of a round robin tournament for the beginning of it. So the NHL gives us a plan. Those are your headlines you need. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. And because of the NHL plan, we're going to make a little history here. I think we're going to do something that's never been done before in all of ESPN Radio. We are going to ask you to call in and talk hockey. Yeah, I know this might not work at all, but there's only one way to find out. So are you excited about the NHL return? If they're first back, and that's suddenly what we get, the Stanley Cup playoff, which we all know is the best playoff, right? The Stanley Cup playoff is the one that gets everybody excited. It's when non-hockey fans suddenly become hockey fans. So are you going to adopt a favorite team? You're running out watching all of it. How will you consume it? Are you all in if the NHL is first back? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm nervous as I say it, but hockey guy, come on. Hockey guy and hockey girl always says, why don't we talk more hockey? This is your chance to get in and tell us your thoughts about the NHL returning. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Speaking of the NHL, we're going to start with some Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. I'm saving you money. Saves you up to 50% against the big carriers with no contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. And the Straight Talk doesn't come right now from First Take. We'll get to some of their Straight Talk. It actually comes from Golic and Wingo this morning, who had Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, on. Now, Gary Bettman came on to talk about their plan. Again, as I mentioned, you're going to have more teams, 24 teams in the playoff. They'll do a bit of a round-robin tournament. They're going to give a bye to the top teams. They're going to be in two different cities. He broke down some of the real specifics in it, the nuts and bolts on how they'll handle certain very important issues when he was on Golic and Wingo today.
Obviously, you are a sport that has teams that are going to have to travel and cross borders. How much conversation did you have with the country of Canada about this plan?
Actually, we're in discussions now because Canada, we believe we can get all of our players back to their home markets. There may be a need for quarantine for 14 days at this point, but we're considering a number of Canadian cities for the hubs. But what we can't do is go from training camp and then quarantine for 14 days again and then start up. So unless we get some relief at the border from the Canadian government, we won't be able to use any of the Canadian cities that have been and are being considered as a hub city, and we'll have to do it all in the U.S. Our hope is that by the time we're actually getting ready to make the decision, we and the Canadian government will know more about what will be necessary in terms of quarantining. But the Canadian government's been advised that this will be an issue for us because, as I said, there are a number of Canadian cities, Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, that are anxious to be a hub city. But unless we can figure this out with the Canadian government, that won't work.
I'm curious, and the hub cities certainly present those challenges. You mentioned the testing that'll be a part of everyone that's in those hub cities based on how the outbreak is in that area at that particular time. But I'm also curious then, you get to that point, and even if you're testing every day, what happens if there is a positive test? What would that then trigger?
That is a good question, and I could have anticipated it, but I thought I'd what our medical people are telling us, and whatever reaction we have to a positive test will be determined by the medical people. They're telling us one test, player goes into isolation. It shouldn't shut everything down, especially because of how much we're testing either daily or every other day. Beyond one test, if it looks like we have an outbreak, then obviously this won't work at that point. Our hope is we don't get to that point because, first, we're bringing the players back to work out in their training facilities, and there'll be some testing. We're then going to be in training camp, and then there'll be more testing. By the time we bring everybody together, we hope that we'll have a population of people, players, and the other personnel that are pretty well COVID-19 free, and it shouldn't be an issue when we bring them together. And we're going to, when we go to the two hub cities, in effect, have mini bubbles where we're going to keep players and personnel in hotels, some of them very proximate walking distance to the arenas. We may be, depending on where we go, quarantining the staffs at the hotels. And so we're going to try and create a bubble. But it's also one of the reasons that we're considering a number of cities, because if we go to a place where the community has more COVID-19 than some other places, then that creates a greater risk. So what we're trying to do is minimize the risks to the extent possible. We're realistic enough to know that there'll always be some element of risk, no matter how hard we try and how hard we're managing this. But again, we'll be guided by what the medical people tell us will be appropriate if, unfortunately, we get a positive test or tests.
Commissioner, we appreciate your time. We're up against it a little bit right now, but I was just curious. I know it's early stages for this probably, but has there been any conversation about fans and when they might become part of the conversation again?
You know, our assumption is that we're going to be concluding the 1920 season without fans, based on everything we're hearing. Because, again, while the medical people are going to be determining what we do, so will governmental authorities. And, you know, we'll do some fun things around the broadcast of the game. To make them more interesting than just an empty arena. But I think everybody should assume for all sports, for at least this summer, you're not going to be looking at fans as much as we can't wait to get back with our fans.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, Jason Fitz. You just heard from Gary Bettman, who this morning was on Golic and Wingo talking about some of the specifics. And I should point out that many of the specifics don't really exist yet. We don't know what cities they're going to be looking at. There are some complications as they figure out how to get all the players here. I heard Bucci talk on SVP about the fact that he talked to one player that hadn't skated in 10 weeks, which was of note because that's the longest that player had gone without skating since he was 4 years old. So you talk about conditioning. I mean, all of this is going to be one of the maddening things that hockey fans are going to have to try and figure out as they look to see what this playoff will bring. But I think there's a huge opportunity for the NHL here. If they can, not only were they first to the market with a plan, but if they can get back to action in some way before everybody else, the captivated eyeballs on it, I think, are going to be huge. But we're asking you, are you pumped for it? And look, I'm going to be honest. We took a chance. We weren't sure if you guys were going to react to hockey at all. And the lines are loaded. So let's get some of that in. Charles in Connecticut, are you excited for the NHL to return? What's your take on it?
I'm not necessarily a hockey fan, but I think that, you know, there's four major sports that we have, and we're currently not watching any of them. I mean, UFC has been like a godsend almost. But to me, hockey, if it came on, I think people that aren't necessarily hockey fans would actually watch. So I think sports right now is needed. And people are like, you know, with the whole thing with Michael Jordan on Sundays, like it was like an event. We were waiting for some type of something to talk about on Monday morning in regards to sports. So to me, hockey, I mean, it's just something for us to watch. I mean, guys are losing their minds right now.
Well, I think you're right about that. And look, I lived in Nashville for a very long time and worked for the ESPN affiliate in Nashville that's the flagship station for the Preds. And the city of Nashville is different now in the hockey level of love because of the Stanley Cup final run that they went on. I mean, there's just a different connection. So I think there's an opportunity to introduce the sport to a lot of people that might not be mega fans, and it will turn them into mega fans because, frankly, the playoffs are so stinking exciting. Larry in Indiana, what do you got? What's your take on the NHL returning?
Hey, guys. I'm actually a lifelong hockey fan. I just had a question for you guys. So with, like, the rating spec we have with Tiger and Phil, as somebody like a non-hockey fan such as y'all, do you have any rhyme or reason to what team you might pick to watch?
Well, I'm a Preds guy. I'm living in Nashville so long. So I went to the first ever Preds game. So the funny thing is most of us that work, this is a behind the curtain fact for a lot of people, because I know a lot of hockey fans talk about the fact that we don't talk a lot of hockey on ESPN. When you walk the halls, there are so many hockey fans. Most of the guys that are working on this show right now are diehard hockey fans. We were just having conversations about Zooming during the Stanley Cup playoffs so we could watch it. So most of us have teams. We just want the rest of the sports community to care as much as we do, in which point we would continue to, we continue to talk about it. You guys want to keep talking about it, we'll let that happen. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're taking your take on if you're excited about the NHL return. You're going to watch. Are you in for it? You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Don't forget, Navy Federal Credit Union has a mission to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. Now, the NHL is getting a lot of love today, even though there's a lot of things that need to be worked out in that plan. They're getting a lot of love. The opposite is happening continually for Major League Baseball as people continue to be disenfranchised by the fact that the argument consistently feels like it's about money. And we have another proposal going back to the players where the richest are taking the largest pay cut. There's been some reaction to that. So we're joined now by ESPN Major League Baseball reporter Jesse Rogers, part of the reporting yesterday on this new proposal. So Jesse, if you had to kind of give us a temperature right now on where you are in the return of Major League Baseball, how close do you think it actually is?
Well, it's not close, but I think it is actually moving in the right direction. I know sometimes the headlines are negative, and even myself sometimes take a negative slant. But think about a week ago, they were talking about revenue sharing, and that really was a non-starter for the players and continues to be. But that wasn't even an official proposal yesterday. They shelved that right away after leaking it and getting the reaction that they got from the players. So already there's been an advancement, so to speak. Now, this was a first offer yesterday. Yes, maybe it was designed to cause a little turmoil within the players, since the highest paid players will take the biggest cut and the lower paid players will take less of a haircut, so to speak. And remember, 65% of major league players make $1 million or less. Now, that's still a lot of money for you and me, but it not all of them are multi-millionaires the way we normally talk about this thing. So there's a first proposal, had nothing to do with revenue sharing. The players will make a counter proposal, and I absolutely think there's a middle ground, and everybody I talk to, media-wise, other experts, Jeff Pass and I both, we all sort of agree within the game, outside the game, there is a path to a deal to be had. So I'm actually pretty confident still.
So educate me, Jesse, because I think you made a great point there about 65% of the league making under $1 million. And one of the things we hear consistently in collective bargaining agreement conversations about the NFL is that it was really the largest body of players that have the voice there, and many of those players make far less. They make league minimum. They're low-tier guys in the NFL. So that affects the voting of the CBA. So how does the fact that 65% of the league makes under $1 million, how does that affect the Players Association when they actually come to the table to vote on proposals?
Right. It's an absolutely fair point. Now, from what I'm told, they're pretty unified, because that 65% knows that their sport is driven by that other 35%, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about. The top earners are the stars of this thing, create the revenue that ends up in their the little guys' pockets, so to speak, the lesser-known players. Those are the guys that lead you to the postseason, which are big bonuses for players making $1 million. They can, you know, double that if they get to the postseason and win the World Series. So from what I'm told, it's pretty unified. Now, there's 1,200 players. When you talk about 40-man rosters, 30 teams, did I get an opinion out of all 1,200? Of course not. Of course not. Are the louder voices in the room the guys that make the most money? Of course. So I can't tell you for sure all of them are completely unified, but in general they are, because those $1 million guys know that without the Max Scherzers and John Lesters and Mike Trouts, they don't have a revenue engine going the way they, that baseball does.
We're talking to ESPN Major League Baseball reporter Jesse Rogers. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So another interesting nugget yesterday that I saw was that the A's are going to stop paying the minor league baseball portion of it. That's going to save them about $1 million. But it left me wondering through all of it, do owners really think about the optics, or how do optics affect the owners as they're trying to figure out what money to spend and what not, money not to spend?
Yeah, it's a good question about the optics, because both sides have a lot to lose in that sense, right? It's millionaires versus billionaires, although I just pointed out 65% make a million or less. And if you're a guy making the minimum this year, you're going to make $260,000, which, again, is a lot of money. But you put it into the terms of the best players in the world, maybe it looks a little different. I think that the owners are trying to highlight the fact that they are not going to have a good year economically. Hence, whether we play or not, we're going to have to furlough some of these guys. Now, if there's an agreement, what I'm interested in, Jason, is let's say 2 days from now, there's an agreement with the players and there's going to be a half a season and it works economically for both sides, or at least as much as it can work. Do all of a sudden all those people that were furloughed come back? I think so. So here's a point in the middle of the negotiations. We're hearing about these furloughs, the end of paychecks for employees, and obviously the owners are making a point that they don't have a lot of cash flow going on right now. So how can we pay the players their full prorated salary? Once there's an agreement, I think those people come back, right? They have to operate their organizations if there's a season. So those furloughs hopefully are short-lived, but I think it's interesting that this is all happening all at the same time.
Well, and this is what I can't figure out, Jesse, and maybe you can give me some insight on it. ESPN Major League Baseball reporter Jesse Rogers. And I know we talk about how contentious or non-contentious relationships are between players and owners, but you don't have to be friends with somebody to negotiate with somebody and understand that bad looks are bad for everybody. How is it that Major League Baseball has not been able to keep money out of the headlines during these negotiations?
Well, there is some distrust. That's no secret. I mean, other sports probably have a little bit more trust between players and league owner, you know, league executives. Although, I mean, how much trust can there be, right? These are unions up against these huge organizations. So, you know, there's always going to be some butting of the heads. But this one in particular, the last couple free agent classes have been down. I think the big thing here, Jason, is, or something that's under talked about at least, is the fact that the CBA is up a year from now. I really contend that if this was the first or second year of a 10-year agreement, it's in place, you can't change it, that we'd have different rhetoric going on. But considering that right after this, they have to start negotiating a new CBA, I don't think you can separate those two things. And that's why Tony Clark's been adamant about no revenue sharing, because that sets a precedent that could easily carry over, at least in the owner's eyes, to the next round of negotiation. So I think timing has been a big thing here in terms of the bad free agent classes these last couple of years, all the bad, you know, rhetoric there and the lower sign. Now, of course, you know, Mike Trout got his and you know, some Bryce Harper got his, but some of the lower guys, not as much. Combine that with the fact that the CBA is up, and that's why they haven't been able to keep this stuff out of the headlines.
All right, Jesse, anybody that knows me knows that I'm cheap and I don't really like to gamble. So I gamble other people's things. So if you had to gamble Mike Golic Sr.'s house on something, that's what I like to use. It's his house, not mine. If you had to gamble his house on a date that you think Major League Baseball is going to be, and remember, you lose his house, he's a big man, he's going to be angry. So if you got to bet his house on a date you think that we're seeing baseball by, what is it?
Well, I think July 4th. I've thought that for quite a while, and I don't just mean a week or two. I've thought that for probably upwards of 5 to 6 weeks. I thought, you know, July 4th, meaning July 1st, but we'll just use the holiday. I think we see baseball by July 4th, as has been sort of rumored over the last couple weeks for sure. But I've heard this for a long, long time now. They were aiming for a July 4th startup.
You guys can check out the article on ESPN.com. It's a great read that Jesse and Jeff Passan wrote about the economics that are being considered right now. Also, follow him on Twitter, at Jesse Rogers, ESPN. Jesse, really appreciate your expertise, your insight, and your time on this. Thanks so much.
You got it, Fitz. Take care.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at Progressive.com. Okay, there's a lot to break down in what Jesse just said about Major League Baseball, but at the same time, like I said, The Major League Baseball conversation is largely about money. I believe they're going to get it worked out. My God, can you imagine a world where we're getting Major League Baseball opening day on July 4th? I mean, that would just be in the world of just America at its finest. That feels like that's what's meant to happen, right? But we'll see what that means moving forward. What we know is that the NHL has given us a plan to return, and I wasn't sure if you guys would be stoked about it, but you are. You've stacked the lines. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Come on up next. We're going to keep taking more of your take on what you think about the return of the NHL. Are you excited about it? Are you in for it? Are you going to watch every second of it? More of your take is coming up next. Plus, new audio released of Jordan going back on what he said. Is it a bad look? You'll hear what First Take had to say about all of that.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News, and your smart speakers. Presented by Progressive Insurance, I'm Jason Fitz. Again, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. We got progressive today. We decided we were going to ask you guys to chime in about the return of the NHL. Are you going to watch? Are you going to be all in? You going to be hyped for it? We threw the number out, not sure if it would get people fired up, and it has. So, 888-SAY-ESPN, you fired up about it, 888-729-3776. Eli in Kentucky, what are your thoughts on the return of the NHL?
What's going on, Jason? I'm a Red Wings guy, so obviously I'm not going to be cheering for them in the playoffs. I'm just going to be hating on everybody else. So, Blues, Avalanche, Blackhawks, doesn't matter. I'm just going to be hating on them, hoping they lose.
Well, that is, I love that. Look, a hate watch is still a watch. I tell people that all the time. Like, when people tweet me and say that, like, this is the worst thing that ever happened to ESPN, hey, a hate listen still counts as a listen. A lot of tweets coming in, by the way, that are supporting, as Michael says, wouldn't matter what sport came back first. I'd watch hockey before any. I love that. Kristen says she's a diehard Preds fan. Can't wait for hockey to be back. Diehards are absolutely going to be all in on this as they try and figure out. So a lot of the diehards are chiming in. That doesn't surprise me. But Neil says, I'll watch, but won't change my fandom and will switch to other sports when they return. I think that's real. I think there's a lot of people that are casually going to watch. The question is, can you get them to stick once they've started to watch? Josh in Canada, what's your retake and what's your take on the return of the NHL?
Oh, hey, how you doing, Jason?
Doing great, man. What's your take?
What's compelling to me is I'm an Habs fan, a Canadiens fan, and we were on the outside looking in when the NHL finished, and now with this new format, we're going to be in, so we're at the dance, and that's incredible because I did not see that happen this year, and especially too where I think what I understand is going to be a best of five, not a best of seven, and when you have the best goalie in the world like we do with Carey Price, you know, you got a chance to go steal a series. Now we'll have the high-flying Pens first round with Crosby and Malkin, and the Flyers are sitting waiting for the winner of that series. So, not an easy road, but there's a chance.
Well, look, I love the fact that you brought up the thing that makes the Stanley Cup playoff so incredible to me, and that's that a hot goalie is everything. A hot goalie is everything. It doesn't matter where you're seated. You get in the dance out quickly because you just evoked the name of the Preds. I'll at least go to James that works on our show, does a great job. James, you are a Preds fan. Your level of confidence in the first round is?
Well, I'm a Pens fan, but
what did I say? Preds fan? Oh, man, I meant Pens fan. I meant Pens fan.
Carey Price is a little little scary, but I like it. That's fine. You know, I mean, there's a reason they're a 12 seed and wouldn't have been in the playoffs if it wasn't for this. So, go Pens.
I just had to let you clap back a little bit. And yes, James is the Pens fan. I'm the Preds fan. That's going to get very confusing if both continue to advance throughout the playoff. We'll keep taking your take on the return of the NHL. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hey, if you don't care and you don't want it, you can also chime in that way. I'm amazed at how many people are stoked for this. So we'll keep letting you chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Gets you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're going to get back to your take in just a second. But First Take had a spirited debate today about the new audio that has come out about Michael Jordan. So the question is, you know, as he originally said, he had nothing to do with Isaiah Thomas being left off the Dream Team. Now we get all this new audio of Jordan that seems to say something other than that. Max and Dominique Foxworth chimed in on whether or not this new audio makes Jordan look bad today.
It does make him look bad. And look, memory is imperfect. And if you ever played telephone as a kid, you know, even passing along facts, they can get distorted very easily. But in the doc, Michael Jordan saying, hey, is someone on the team? You don't even have to worry about that because others don't want him on the team. He won't be on the team. But what he said here, which predates the doc, is I won't play if Isaiah's on the team. Don't worry. Even Chuck Daly doesn't want him. You don't have to worry about that. And while it's a subtle difference, and maybe Michael Jordan at the time of the documentary wasn't even really trying to change something, just an issue of playing telephone, right? You're repeating something that happened. You phrase it a little differently, and some subtle meaning gets lost. But there's a big difference between saying, hey, I never had to say anything about Isaiah because others didn't want him on the team, which is what came across in the documentary, whether or not that's what Michael Jordan intended. And I'm not going to play if Isaiah's on the team. Don't worry about it. He ain't going to be on the team anyway. So even if Jordan is innocent of actual distortion, the optics, as they say nowadays, for him is bad. It looks like he was trying to make himself look good in one instance in the documentary, not exactly lying unless you say by omission, but by emphasizing certain things and de-emphasizing others. And then at another point, which predates the documentary, telling a different story.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it makes him look bad because this is what I thought was the case. Like, for my entire life where I knew of this story of Jordan keeping Isaiah off the Dream Team, I thought it was because of Jordan. The only 5 seconds that I considered maybe it was because of somebody else was when he said it in his documentary that a lot of other people didn't want him. And when they came to him, they already told him that Isaiah wouldn't be on there. And then I considered it. And then I looked at the totality of the documentary and realized, no, Jordan is kind of a vindictive, petty kind of a sensitive guy who turns that sensitivity into destroying the people that are across from him and the guys he considers his opponents, which he did on the court for many years and he did off the court in this situation. So I don't think it makes Jordan look any worse than he already looked, which I don't think he looks that bad. Like, we have accepted the full idea of who Michael Jordan is, what he was, and that's kind of baked into the cake now. So this coming out now doesn't really make me think any less of him. I think the stuff that Horace Grant was saying about Scottie Pippen and how Scottie Pippen might feel about it. Like, that is the only thing that gives me some pause about how Jordan treats people or his teammates. But the rest of this, to me, seems like stuff that we already knew about Michael. Right, Jay?
You know, I think for a lot of people, Neek, you know, people on the inside that have heard a lot of these stories that have been around a lot of players, I think, look, I've known Michael since I was a sophomore in college. And, you know, I've played against him. I've seen how he finds those triggers to be extremely competitive. It doesn't matter who he's competing at you with. I've heard stories of people that don't like him. I heard stories of people that love him. But I think also then coming out of that world of being in the athletic world and being in the regular fan world, I've heard this admiration for him. Like, there was nothing that Jordan could ever do that was wrong. I think the world is actually getting a chance to see, you know, what are some of the pitfalls of how Michael Jordan is so competitive all the time. And how he needs to channel a lot of that. And I think, does it make him look bad as it relates to Isaiah? Maybe not to the world, but to Isaiah Thomas, it really does.
Yeah, the question is, do you think he cares what Isaiah Thomas thinks about how he looks through all of this? I don't. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, RVs, for protection on the road and the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes. Come on, it's a pandemic. You've got 3 minutes. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitch. We're taking your take on the return of the NHL. Again, I think this is a spectacular thing for the league if they can get all this figured out, get eyeballs, and get them quickly. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want your take on it. You love it, you hate it, you want it, you don't care. You're going to adopt a team. You're just going to watch a little of it. Tell me how you feel about the return of the NHL. Ellen in Wisconsin, what do you got? Thanks for calling the show. What's your take?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm originally from St. Louis. I'm thrilled. I came to hockey as an adult, but I'm thrilled that the Blues have a chance to defend their title. Secondly, on off topic, Isaiah Thomas is a tool. Everybody knows it, and I don't think it makes Jordan look bad. Thanks for taking my call.
Look, Ellen is right about everything. It's absolutely spectacular for the Blues. We forget about that run, and you know, anybody that watches Golic and Wingo, I was on Golic and Wingo last year during that run where Trey Wingo, who worked in St. Louis back in the day, was ready just to leave. He was ready to listen Gloria 3-4 times a day, and we spent the whole time celebrating that run. I love them getting the chance to return and the chance to defend that. That's the right thing for all of this, and it's good for hockey fans everywhere. Tristan in Pittsburgh, always love it when Tristan calls. Tristan, what do you got? What's your take on this one?
Hi, how's it doing, Jason? So me and James, obviously from Pittsburgh, big Pittsburgh Penguins fans, we are all ecstatic about this format because not only do we get to play the Habs, who don't even deserve, honestly, in my opinion, to be in the playoff format based on the way they played, but we've been riddled with injuries all year, and we get Jake Gensel back for this run. So a healthy Pittsburgh Penguins team with a little bit of momentum playing, but I would say an easy play-in series against the Montreal Canadiens. With some momentum, they have as good a shot as any to go to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they're at plus 2,000 now. If you're a gambling man or woman, they're a great play if you're trying to put some money down on this playoff format.
Why do I feel like James, by the way, who's working on the show today, is on cloud nine, and Connor, who also works on the show right now, is calling somebody to get a little action in on that. I'm just saying. Look, everything you just said there, though, is what's going to make this playoff really unique, because you're talking about the opportunity for teams to get healthy, not just the Penguins, but across the board. They're going to come back, and they're going to have health. Conditioning is the only problem or the only concern I have for all of these guys that get back in. I got to take this one just because location is curious to me. Frank in Alabama. So I don't think of Alabama as being a huge NHL market. Frank in Alabama, where are you on the return of the NHL?
I'm a big-time Blackhawks fan. Grew up in Chicago. They're my team. I live actually in Decatur, so I've been to many a Predator game. In fact, I've met you a couple times. I'm a big fan of your music.
Nice, man.
The Stanley Cup to me is 4 series, and you know, it's just, it's very emotional. You play your heart out every night, and I just don't know if this series is going to be worth it. I mean, I'd rather have the cup not be played than have it watered down.
Well, that's an interesting point, Frank, because that's something that I think we're going to hear a lot about. Like, where do we assign the asterisks? Where does that become part of the way we look back on anything? And that's going to be one of the most interesting things, not just for the NHL, but frankly, across all of sports, is trying to figure out how history will remember these. I mean, if you're a big hockey fan, one of the things you're already concerned about is what happens to some of the regular season stats. I mean, guys didn't get enough games. And so what's it mean for guys that chase certain numbers? And so, there are so many legacy things that are important for people, because hockey, much like baseball, is a sport that believes in legacy. How the legacy will view the Stanley Cup is going to be really interesting to me, because you're getting such a different final format. You're getting such a different playoff format. How everybody will view it, where the asterisk goes, is going to be a big part of it. While I agree from your standpoint that watering it down feels like it's going to be something that's less, it's a lesser cup, I don't know that for the casual fan it matters. And if you can gain casual fans when you're a sport like hockey, I think that might be the most important thing that you could do in this era to take a positive. We're going to keep taking your thoughts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A bunch of you guys on hold. We'll get you in to get your thoughts on the return of the NHL. Plus, we're keeping up. We're going to continue the primetime player list. It's down to number 3. We'll find out who it is next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, The 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. If you missed the first hour of the show, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with a credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and most importantly, helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. See, I always say that with like more condescending, like, what's in your wallet? That's the Capital One portion for you. All right, so we're going to keep taking your take on how excited you are about the return of the NHL. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You guys are just stacked on the lines from all over the country, so I want to let you get in. But first, we've been going through the series. We've been giving you the countdown every single day on the best players, the primetime players in the NBA. And today, they got to number three.
The third player on our First Take Primetime Players NBA ranking is Kevin Durant.
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
He's one of five players to win at least one Rookie of the Year, MVP, Finals MVP, All-Star Game MVP, and scoring title. The others on that list, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, Michael Jordan, and Wilt Chamberlain. KD has averaged 29.1 points per game in the playoffs during his career, tied with Jerry West for fourth highest career postseason scoring average in the NBA history.
Way outside, delivers!
Player number three, next forward, Kevin Durant.
Well, he's the number three player in the lead. The question is, will he win a title before he leaves Brooklyn? Max chimed in on that today on First Take.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm hopeful and halfway to optimistic. Like, you know, that includes not just, you know, hopefulness, but confidence, as you say. And the confidence has to do with the injury. Really, that's the main thing. I'm suggesting here, I think it's reasonable to predict that KD comes back diminished. But given the heights from which he'd fall, MVP level kind of player, he could fall down to all-star. Let's say that's 80% of him. The way Dominique fell down after his injury, but was still a very good player. If KD is an all-star with Kyrie Irving, and whether or not it's LeVert and Dinwiddie and who and everyone else, or it's whoever else they can get, there were rumors that maybe they could try to get Bradley Beal. I think that's enough to win a championship. And I think KD has a special motivation to do it. As I've said, when he joined the Warriors, it didn't prove anything about his greatness, because any superstar player that joins the Warriors would surely win multiple championships. They had already won 73 games and barely didn't win the championship in LeBron James's finest moment as a basketball player, right? Barely. Seventh game, one possession, at home, end of the fourth quarter type game. You add KD to that team. You add Paul George to that team. You add a lot of guys to that team. No one's going to get any wins. Of course they're going to win. So that doesn't really prove the thing that the championship is supposed to prove about the best player on a championship team. Now he has the chance to prove it. And what's even better in a way is when he was at his best, he didn't prove it. So what he proved was his goodness, you know, his quality. Obviously he has an exceptional quality as a basketball player. If he's diminished, and now he's leading a team to a championship that's never gotten close, like, or at least not recently, that proves greatness in a way that he couldn't prove in Golden State. So I'll say that I'm almost confident. I got to see about his health. But presuming he's 80% of what he was, yes, I think he'll win a championship in Brooklyn.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. They're intent to try and win one next year, and they're going to have a pretty reasonable shot because they're going to get healthy, and they're likely going to add more weapons to that team. So kudos to what the Nets are about to accomplish. We're asking you what the NHL is about to accomplish. 888-SAY-ESPN. We've got a lot of you guys chimed in, and what I don't want to do is get anybody pinched, and I don't want to cut anybody off. So I'm going to give you my thought. We'll take more of your take in just a second, but I got to tell you, For me, the NHL has a huge opportunity here because eyeballs mean something. I mean, look at the ratings for the match that we had over the weekend. Now, yes, there was celebrity star power to it, but the conversation the next day was what a win it was for golf and how can golf continue to sort of move forward with that. I believe that that's going to be the same challenge that the NHL has. They're going to have an opportunity to get an audience, and then they're going to have to figure out how to maximize that audience. The product in and of itself is going to be a lot of what gets people to gravitate back to it, but they're also going to have to make sure that they make what could be a very strange broadcast feel special. The NHL is coming back. We're going to talk to an expert on it. Plus, we're going to keep taking your take. That's all next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.